This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, April 26th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, Colorado's Attorney General is holding public meetings on the proposed merger between the parent companies of Safeway and King Soopers. We'll hear what Longmont residents had to say. Spring is baby bird season. We'll visit the home of a local woman who rehabilitates baby birds who may have suffered injuries or who need a little extra help. Chris Moore has his weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars shares her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. Coming up on A Public Affair, two conversations about race. First with local artist Grace G, then with author and educator Dante King. Both interviews are from the podcast, well, That Went Sideways, hosted by Alexis Miles and KGNU's Sam Fuqua. Then at 9:30, Indra Raj will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still coming up, but first a look at the headlines with KGNU's Alyssa Palazzo.
Colorado became the first state in the nation yesterday to guarantee farmers access to resources necessary to repair their agricultural equipment on their own. The Farmers' Right to Repair Bill requires manufacturers of farm equipment to sell tools, digital access, and parts to independent farmers and repair shops so they can assess and repair problems with their equipment. The idea stemmed from farmers statewide who had to pay thousands of dollars and wait weeks for manufacturers to repair equipment they felt they could have done independently. Colorado is the first of 11 states that introduced the legislation this year to get its proposal signed into law. The new law will take effect on January 1st. Legislation that aims to provide further protections for students facing expulsion advanced in the State House Thursday. House Bill 1291 would make it so hearing officers responsible for expelling students who have broken state laws or school rules would have to undergo more training. State Representative Serena Gonzalez Gutierrez told the Broomfield Leader the bill is trying to fundamentally change the way kids and families are treated in the expulsion process. The bill would ensure officers wholly account for the student's circumstances, including any previous traumatic experiences, learning disabilities, or otherwise. The bill will become a law if it moves through the state Senate and the entire House within the next 2 weeks. A bill that would have allowed local jurisdictions to craft policies to cap rents died in a Senate committee yesterday. House Bill 1115 aimed to reverse a 1981 rent control ban that prevents local governments from enacting rent stabilization policies in their communities. Carmen Medrano, the co-chair for Colorado Homes for All, said in a press release, "This vote means that teachers and service workers will be forced out of the communities where they work, especially in Colorado's mountain resort areas." Colorado is considered a landlord-friendly state due to laws, practices, and policies that favor landlords over protecting the tenants. The 4-3 opposing vote killed the bill. The Southern Ute Tribe reached a settlement with two companies that operate a natural gas plant in Ignacio in southern Colorado. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Clark Adamidis of KSUT and KSJD has more.
Harvest Four Corners and Williams Inc. operate gas pipelines nationwide. In 2019, the Southern Ute Tribe sued both companies related to their operation of a natural gas processing plant in Ignacio near the Durango Airport. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, the companies were violating numerous clean air regulations. The plant was emitting volatile organic compounds, which are potentially cancer-causing gases. The plant was also illegally flaring gas. The Southern Ute Indian Tribe settled with the companies last week for over $300,000. The settlement is part of a larger $9 million settlement with three companies that the EPA announced on Thursday. For KSUT and KSJD, I'm Clark Adamidis.
An investigation into the derailment of a W Line light rail train in Golden last month found the operator may have nodded off while conducting. On March 11th, two passengers on the train were taken to the hospital with minor injuries following the train hitting a bump post at the Jefferson County Government Center Station, causing the car to end up off the rails. This derailment was the third in the Denver Metro's transit agency since the start of 2019. Tuesday's regulatory finding regarding the operator's alertness has prompted the Regional Transportation District to restructure its operator readiness checklist, including a fatigue awareness campaign to evaluate shift start times and durations. As of last Monday, the operator involved in this crash no longer works for the Transit Department. In a statement yesterday, RTD said they anticipate service to the W Line to resume by the end of the month. For today's Wednesday weather in Boulder and Denver, expect fog with showers before 10 a.m. and a high of around 51 degrees. Tonight, temperatures will drop to about 37 degrees with partly cloudy skies. For KGNU, I'm Alyssa Palazzo.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. Colorado's Attorney General Phil Weiser has been visiting communities around the state ahead of the possible merger of two large grocery chains. Kroger, which owns City Market and King Soopers, announced plans to acquire Albertsons, which owns Safeway, for nearly $25 billion last October. Weiser was in Longmont yesterday as part of his statewide listening tour. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Maeve Conran reports.
Previous stops on the tour have included Gunnison, Denver, Canyon City, and a stop in Golden on Monday evening. Weiser said Longmont was selected due to the community response on the issue.
We put out a public link and asked people for comments. One of the top places we got comments was Longmont, which made me think, people here are concerned. I want to hear directly from the people.
About 25 people showed up to Longmont High on Tuesday afternoon, a mixture of current and former employees of local Safeway and King Soopers stores. Trevor McCarthy works in curbside pickup at the Safeway on North Hover in Longmont. He says the union has a strong presence there and he's concerned what might happen if the merger with Kroger, that's the parent company of King Soopers, goes ahead.
We could potentially wind up losing lots of benefits. Our wages could go down, assuming again that we're even able to keep our jobs. They might just wind up shuttering us entirely because they don't want to deal with a union.
Trevor wasn't the only employee of that particular Safeway store who showed up with concerns for their job.
I'm Patricia Arenas. I work for the North Safeway.
Here in Longmont?
Yes.
And why are you here today?
Well, I'm concerned about my job. I'm a cake decorator and looking at King Soopers, they don't have a cake decorator. What happens to my job?
Weiser says that he's heard from grocery workers across the state who share similar concerns about their jobs, benefits, and pensions.
I was in Canyon City recently, and someone told the story. It was reported that she worked in Craig, Colorado, at a supermarket chain, and after the prior Safeway-Albertson merger, her job was cut, and she had to move from Craig to Canyon City to get another job, and she lost all the seniority benefits she had. I heard a similar story last night when I was in Golden about that issue of people losing the jobs, losing the seniority. And yes, in Gunnison, I also heard about pension benefits and the concern that the two companies currently are supporting pensions, and there's a worry, is this merger going to harm people's pension?
There are two Safeway stores and three King Soopers stores in Longmont. Several in attendance at Longmont High on Tuesday said they were consumers who were concerned about a loss of choice and an increase in grocery prices if any of those stores close due to a merger. Attorney General Weiser said concerns about food and access are something he has heard in both rural and urban areas.
There are a lot of people who have limits on their ability to access supermarkets that are far away. They might go on foot or they might have limited public transit options. If a store closes and they can't access the store, that will threaten their food security. And that means for consumers a huge, huge challenge. So when you think about the urban issues, they sometimes are different, but sometimes they're similar. In Golden last night, they said, for example, the two main supermarkets they rely on is the King Soopers and the Safeway. And they worry that if you have a merger between the two of them, then you're not going to have the same choice, whether it's on prices or variety or a more resilient supply chain by having two separate options.
In addition to concerns about food prices, Attorney General Weiser said that many Coloradans rely on King Soopers and Safeway for pharmacy services. He said he heard from several people at Monday's meeting in Golden that there are real concerns for what a merger might mean for those services.
I heard from the people who were there that there are two principal pharmacies in Golden. One is at King Soopers and one is at Safeway. And what they said is certain pharmacy programs that give people access to drug prescription benefits only work in one or the other. And so one of the concerns is if you only have one, there's the resilience concern. What if they run out of medication, a concern people have raised? Or what if the particular chain you're working with doesn't accept your insurance? That can put you at a huge disadvantage. So it's a different sort of concern because it's medication, but it's also about having choices and about having a resilient option.
The Attorney General will hold further meetings in Vail, Montrose, and Cortez in the coming weeks. Weiser says he wants to hear from as many Coloradans as possible before deciding early next year whether to challenge the merger in court. People can submit comments about the proposed merger at the website coag.gov/grocery-merger. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
What happens when baby birds aren't successful in their initial attempts to fly? They may end up with Donna Nespoli, a bird rehabilitation expert and founder of Colorado Native Bird Care and Conservation. KGNU's Benita Lee spoke with her about how she rescues wild birds and what it takes to survive what Nespoli calls baby bird season.
There are many ways we know it's springtime, warmer days and budding leaves. But without us having to even look at the calendar, there's something else that cues us. Songbirds. But spring for one Coloradan means all songbirds all the time in her home.
I feed them every 20 minutes from sun up to sundown. So then they poop every 20 minutes from sun up to sundown. They're eating and pooping, I'm happy.
Donna Nespoli is the director of Colorado Native Bird Care and Conservation, a nonprofit that rescues, rehabilitates, and releases orphaned and injured songbirds. Her specialty is raising the very young ones, the hatchlings, which she says these days are arriving early.
I just received 4 older finch juveniles, which means they must have been born before even April. So this year it's very early to have babies. The height of the bird season is July 4th. We kind of say, like, if we can make it through July 4th, we can make it through the season.
Nespoli says global warming is changing migration times, which means birds are coming back to breed earlier. But global warming is just one of the human-caused reasons that Nespoli sees many young birds in need of help.
Like, for example, a cat will kill a parent bird or get in a tree and destroy a nest. Also, when you do tree trimming in the spring and summer, you'll destroy nests.
Before Nespoli started her own rehabilitation center, she completed an intensive year-long training program at Greenwood Wildlife Rescue in Lyons.
And then I took a ornithology class at CSU, and I was just blown away. And I went into birds and fell in love with birds.
When Nespoli first receives a patient, she follows a series of protocols, just like any medical professional does when checking in a sick or otherwise vulnerable patient.
When we receive a hatchling, the first thing to do is to warm the baby up. They're usually coming cold. After they're warmed up, we administer fluids. We then identify the species and formulate a diet plan on how to feed them and get them to grow.
Oftentimes, Nespoli needs to administer medicines to the baby birds, depending on why they came to her for help.
For example, with cat attacks, the bacteria in a cat's mouth is particularly toxic. So if you don't get them in time and start antibiotics, they usually will die within 5 days. So any bird that has been in a cat's mouth, even though you can't see a visible wound, will get antibiotics. We have another little hatchling that just came in today, and he was one that fell out of the nest. And we always advise people to put them back in the nest. But this little guy, they couldn't locate the nest, and he had a cut on him. So we would start him on pain meds and antibiotics.
Some baby birds should never have come to Nespoli at all.
And that's another reason we get birds is well-meaning people, they claim to not see the mother or father feeding, and they take the babies out of the nest. The adult birds do not spend a lot of time at the nest because they don't want to draw predators. So to really see if you have abandoned babies, you really have to watch for 2 hours, and you have to watch constantly.
As an example, Nespoli showed me 4 finch siblings in a terrarium-like enclosure. When she approached, they opened their mouths wide and began to chirp for food. Nespoli suspected they had not been orphans after all.
They were very well fed. The feather quality is beautiful. So that leads me to believe that they were kidnapped.
That's right, kidnapped. Nespoli says people also accidentally kidnap slightly older but flightless baby birds when they find them on the ground.
Some birds will fledge the nest before they're able to fly, which means they basically jump and fall to the ground. And they're on the ground for 1 to 2 weeks while they're learning to fly. And a lot of times those are the babies we get that are cat attacks and dog attacks because they're on the ground. So for example, if you found a blue jay on the ground and he's not flying, that would be normal as long as the parent is around. But if you find a swallow on the ground, that is not normal because when they fledge, they're fully flighted.
Birds that nest in holes in trees or cavity nesting species like woodpeckers, swallows, and swifts only leave the nest when they can fly. Other baby birds, like corvids, need more help.
Blue jays are a corvid, so they're in the raven and crow family. They have a long time to be with the parents, and the parents actually teach them what to do. So with those kind of birds, I have to take the place of the parent and teach them what to do and how to find food.
Just like with children, some things take a bit of repetition.
If you were fortunate enough to watch a robin mom weaning a fledgling, they'll pick up an earthworm and put it in the baby's mouth and then take it out and drop it. They'll do that a couple times so the baby connects that, oh, that thing on the ground, it's moving. I'm supposed to eat that.
Nespoli says birds begin to fly instinctively as well, and around that time, most of them begin to feel fearful of humans. From a rehabber's perspective, that's good because the goal is that the birds survive on their own in the wild. When it's time to release them, Nespoli tries to return the birds within 10 miles of where they were found. If it's an unsafe environment, such as a bustling city, she has to seek permission from the Colorado Department of Wildlife to release them elsewhere. But wherever Nespoli sets her patients free, her maternal instincts stay with her, even when the bird hurriedly flies off.
Is it hard for you to do that? What, I mean, do you
I
get
usually
sort of...
cry on the way home. Yeah, because I'm so worried they're not going to be okay.
Nespoli has had a highly successful release rate for the birds that come to her as healthy babies, about 80 to 90%. But injured baby birds are another story. It's about 50-50, and when she can't do anything to help a suffering bird, Nespoli has to euthanize it.
And this is, I imagine, heartbreaking work. What makes you want to do it? What makes you keep doing it?
I'm crazy.
You're crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of an addiction, baby. Baby birds, to me, are like an addiction. If I know they exist and they need help, I really have to save them. It's just hard being an animal, but working with animals and even working with disadvantaged people or elderly people. You have that where you care about something and you have to keep doing it. Because if you don't keep doing it, you feel like, what is the point of my existence if you're not doing the things that you think are the right things to do?
Nespoli says she'll keep rescuing birds, although she has slowed down. Previously, she cared for 250 birds. Now she'll raise 50, which she says is still a lot of work for one person. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
Up next is Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore.
Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas on how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Joe Biden has put forward $3 trillion of deficit reduction in his own budget, but Republicans want to cut an additional $1.5 trillion and are likely to pass the Limit, Save, Grow Act soon.
These are the terms they claim they want in order to increase the U.S. debt ceiling. They would return total discretionary spending to the fiscal year 2022 level in fiscal year 2024 and cap annual growth at 1% for a decade thereafter with major spending cuts. In exchange, House Republicans would raise the debt ceiling cap by $1.5 trillion. Once Treasury's extraordinary measures to delay a default are exhausted in a month or so, the U.S. would start to default on its obligations, which would unleash economic upheaval globally. Interest rates on government debt would soar to 20% or more. Millions more Americans would be unemployed. Hundreds of thousands of businesses would go under. Banks by the thousands would fail. The U.S. dollar could cease to be the international monetary powerhouse it is today, and so dollars from around the world would flood back into the U.S., causing unprecedented inflation. The Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget agrees with Kevin McCarthy that the Limit, Save, Grow Act would save $4.5 trillion in the coming decade. $500 billion would come from rolling back President Biden's student debt cancellation, affecting 6.6 million college students and graduates. Another $300 billion in cuts would come from gutting climate tax credits and around $90 billion in unused COVID relief funds. Next, the act would require Congress to approve any federal rule or regulation that the Office of Management and Budget determines would have an economic impact of $100 million or more, allowing for additional sales of oil and gas leases. To save an additional $100 billion, the bill would impose stricter work requirements for Medicaid, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and temporary assistance for needy families' beneficiaries, which would greatly increase the number of children going hungry. 6.6 million students who rely on Pell Grants and the 1.2 million women, infants, and children who receive nutrition assistance would be allowed to go hungry. 200,000 children would lose access to Head Start. 100,000 children would lose access to child care. The act would also rescind most of the $80 billion of increased IRS funding. IRS employees have been able to answer 87% of calls from filers with questions this year versus 14% last year. This cut would worsen the deficit by more than $100 billion over a decade by allowing more tax cheating. The Center-Right Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, while applauding many of these proposals, strongly states that, quote, the debt ceiling cannot be held hostage and must be lifted as quickly as possible, close quote. If you have thoughts on the Limit, Save, Grow Act or the Republican refusal to raise the debt ceiling, you can contact your senators and representatives. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars, and I just walked here to KGNU and just wanted to say I'm still seeing those pesticides applied signs. And I know my KGNU listeners are hipper than that, but what are we going to do? It's time to stop talking about how to be environmentally active. It's time for action. So, first of all, we need to educate our neighbors that dandelions are not the enemy. They actually aerate the soil, and they are one of the first foods for the bees in the springtime. I've done so many shows on this. Farmers often say where the dandelions grow, that's a good place to plant a garden. They're so beneficial. You can eat the leaves, you can eat the flowers, the stem gets rid of warts, you can eat the roots. So I remember a few years ago, there was a city council meeting and we asked, why do you think you need to spray the dandelions? And the answer was, well, they're not from around here and people might trip over them. Well, I want to share that I went into a big hardware store the other day and I saw a whole rack right up front of that toxic pesticide. You know, the one that starts with an R. And I actually went to the manager and said, I'm not going to shop here because you are still selling something glyphosate. We know it's bad. So I'm going to take my business elsewhere. I've also gone into places and said, I'm not going to come into the store or come into the center because you're still spraying pesticides. I think we need that kind of activism. And I know that a lot of us live in apartments or condos, and there are these homeowners associations that kind of make all the rules. So maybe it's time to start going to those homeowner association meetings and say that we want a yard that isn't sprayed with pesticides, that's safe for us, our children, our pets to frolic. We shouldn't need to be worrying about pesticides. And if you think that it's only your yard, when the rains come, all those things get washed into the ground, end up in our water table, end up in the air. It's so tiring. So what about petitions at the homeowners associations? It's time to make a difference. I have a new book coming out this spring called Dandelion Medicine. It's full of remedies. So it's time to do something. And, you know, I have a neighbor who will actually refrain from mowing their lawn and has told me that their lawn is my lawn. And you know what? I go there and I bring them dandelion salad, dandelion muffins, dandelion loaf. And it's a way of having community activism. And that's what KGNU is all about. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host and producer, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Alyssa Palazzo, Clark Adamitis, Alexis Kenyon, Maeve Conran, Benita Lee, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their work on today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the latest commentary from Jim Hightower, and then a public affair. But first, these news headlines from the BBC.